The Lord is a blessing to his people, and the Lord is a blessing through his people. Isn't that awesome? He's a Lord, he's a blessing to his people, and the Lord is a blessing through his people. I have something today that reminds me of the blessing of God's people. I have an object. How do you like that? I have one boot. Actually, I have two boots, but I only brought one because one's easier to bring than two. This is a cowboy boot. This cowboy boot and the other one that was with it belonged to my friend Dwight Brower. Some of you know Dwight Brower. Dwight and I had a lot in common. He was a man. I'm a man. He was a husband. He was a father. He was a preacher. And he was an outdoorsman. And also, he wore the same size shoe that I do. And his lovely bride, Ginger, she's sitting right over there. When Dwight passed away not that long ago, Miss Ginger gave me his cowboy boots. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, you can clap for that. That's cool. Now, I started to wear these today, but I got to be honest with you. I haven't worn cowboy boots since I was about 8 years old. And I'm not used to walking in heels yet. And plus, most of my pants are not tailored for cowboy boots. And so, but I love these boots. They're very special to me. And one of the things they remind, I'll leave it right there. I'll tell you what, I'll leave it right there. One of the things that, about these boots is they remind me of the blessings of God. Because Dwight Brower was a man blessed by the Lord, and he was one who blessed others because the Lord blessed him. And he was a blessing to me, and Ginger Brower is a blessing to me as well. And today, as we conclude the book of Philippians, we're going to learn about the blessings of God and his people. The Lord is great at blessing his people, and he is great at blessing others through his people. Join me in prayer as we ask the Lord to bless us now as we study his word. God, we are so grateful for your word. We need to hear from you, God. Would you speak to us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit who gave us the Bible? Lord, would you give us more of yourself now as we finish chapter 4 of the book of Philippians? God, would you show us how you are a blessing to us and how we can be a blessing to others because of the great blessing you are to us? God, there are surely some in this room who are discouraged. I pray they will walk away encouraged because of you. There are surely some who don't know Jesus. I pray they will know Jesus today in the power of his resurrection, and they will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, there are some who need to make other spiritual decisions. Lord, would you work in every single heart and mind in this room today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at our passage today, we're going to notice three ways that we see the blessing of God and his people. Okay, so if you're taking notes, you can write this down first. The secret of gratitude. The secret of gratitude. You're provided a place to take notes in your bulletin, and you can take notes any way you want. But I encourage you to do so because it helps you retain what the Lord is probably, hopefully, teaching you through his word. The secret of gratitude. Gratitude is being grateful for what you have. I know you're not supposed to use the word in the definition, but I couldn't help myself. It's being grateful for what you have. It's just having thanksgiving for what you have. So ask yourself, am I grateful to God for everything he has given me? Am I grateful to God for everything he has given me? You know, some of us are so focused on what we don't have that it causes us not to be grateful for what we do have. Some of us are so focused on what we don't have that it causes us not to be grateful for what we do have. And gratitude is realizing that God has already blessed you in many ways and that you thank God for those blessings. That's gratitude. To realize, God, everything you have is from the Lord. And we should be thankful to the Lord, grateful to the Lord for those blessings. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you're already preaching. You hadn't even read the Bible yet. Well, let's do it, okay? Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, and I'll read through verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again, you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. Okay, we'll stop there for now. Let's talk about this for just a minute. Notice that Paul mentions, once again, rejoicing. Okay, I told you it'd come up a lot in the book of Philippians, and I kept my word, right? He mentions, once again, rejoicing. This theme comes up again and again and again in Philippians, and this time, Paul is the one rejoicing. Why? Well, just look at your Bibles. Paul's rejoicing because the Philippians have renewed their care for him. The care that the Philippians showed Paul was helping meet his needs through their generosity. The Philippians were giving to Paul in his ministry, and it helped meet his physical needs. Now remember, in case it's been a while, well, it has been a while since we started Philippians, you know, like 8 weeks or something. You may recall, Paul was in prison. And he's writing this to them from a state of being imprisoned. And so they helped give to meet the needs of Paul when he was in prison. And while he was jailed, the Philippians were generous. Notice in verse 11 that Paul is not trying to draw attention to this topic because he wants to get more from them. Have you ever met someone like that? They're like, man, we're having tough financial times. I sure wish somebody was generous to us, you know. We're really struggling, you know what I mean? So that's not what Paul's doing, though. Paul is not portraying a message of pity. Paul is portraying a message of gratitude. He's portraying a message of gratitude. He is grateful for the care of the Philippians. And what's more, Paul is not only grateful to the Philippians, he is grateful to the Lord. He is grateful to the Lord for the generosity of the Philippians. And Paul rejoices so much in the Lord, he is so grateful to the Lord that he has learned to be content in all things. He's learned to be content in all things. And we don't use that word a lot, content. In fact, you might say, that looks like content to me. To be content means to be satisfied with what you have. It means to be satisfied with what you have. Paul is grateful and he is content. Are you grateful to the Lord for all that he has given you? Are you satisfied with all that God has given you? Paul said in verse 12, I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Notice how he refers to contentment. He calls it a secret. Why does he do that? Why does he call it a secret? You see, gratitude doesn't come easily, does it? I mean, how many people do you meet in our society who are just always grateful? They just walk around saying, man, I'm so thankful for everything. I'm just so happy. I have no complaints. How often, I mean, well, you see that in society? No, we're just a big complaint pit out there, right? All of us. I was just complaining and whining and whining and whining. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content. Contentment does not come easily. Gratitude does not come easily. However, when you learn the secret, when you learn the special recipe, when you learn what most people have not learned, how to be grateful and satisfied, no matter your circumstances, well, then you've learned something special. You've learned something valuable. You've learned a secret that others do not know. And Paul goes on to verse 13, this very famous verse, I am able to do all things through him who strengthened me. Now, you may know, outside the Apostle Paul, there's one person who made this verse very famous. And he played for the University of Florida. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow wore on his eye black, Philippians 4:13, almost every game. For special games, he'd sometimes wear John 3:16, but he wore Philippians 4:13. And this verse is very famous. And here's the thing. This verse is often associated with doing great acts of courage or difficulty, which is actually not the context of the verse at all. Pay attention here. It is not the context of the verse. The context of the verse is not like, I'm going to go climb Mount Everest, Philippians 4:13, right? By the way, I want to be clear. God can help you do great acts of courage and difficulty. He can. He can. He can help you climb Mount Everest if he's calling you to. But if he's not calling you to do that, you may not want to try. But he can help you with those things. But the context of this verse is about contentment. It's right on the heels of Paul learning, I have learned to be content with little and with a lot. Being content in any circumstance, listen, it's hard. It's hard to be satisfied with what you have when you don't have what you think you should have, or you don't have what you think you need to have. It's hard to be content. However, church, you can do all things through him who gives you strength. You, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, can do all things through Jesus. You can learn the secret of being content when you don't have a lot. And by the way, sometimes it's harder to be content when you do have a lot. You might say, that doesn't make any sense, Pastor. I think I'd like to try that. I hope I get a lot, right? But the reality is, within our hearts is a twisting of what God has given us, and he created us to be content. But when sin came into the world, it twisted everything God gave us. In the gospel, we can recover what was taken from us by sin. But I like to explain it this way. Sometimes the residue of sin remains. And there's something in our hearts that keeps us from being content, no matter what we have. You might think, if I had as much as that person had, I think I'd be content. You wouldn't, without knowing the secret of contentment. And the secret of contentment is realizing that God blesses you with everything that you need, and he will not forsake you, and he will not let you down, and he sees you, and you can trust him. As we just sang in that beautiful new song, as we just sang, right, that God takes care of his people. Everything we need, our Father has it. Everything. And that is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I don't need your money, Philippians. I'm grateful for it. But I don't really need it. Because I've learned the secret of being content. Paul's not commending them, hoping they'll give him more money. He's saying, no, I'm commending you because I'm grateful. I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful to the Lord. Through the power of God, you can learn the secret of contentment. Through the power of God, you can learn the difficulty of gratitude in every and any situation. And then in verse 14, Paul commends, or he celebrates, the Philippians again for partnering with him. And it was good for them to do so. More on that in just a moment. So first we see the secret of gratitude. Hey, you know what's funny is we just, thank you, by the way, those of you that prayed for our men's retreat. We had a great retreat Friday evening and Saturday. One of the things that we did there is, as I would teach, I would say, hey, does anybody have any questions or comments? I almost just said that. Does anybody have any questions? But we don't do that on Sunday morning, okay? But if you do have any questions, come see me after the service is over, okay? But so first we see the secret of gratitude. Second, notice the sacrifice of generosity. The sacrifice of generosity. Now I read verse 15, but look at verse 15 again, and we'll read through verse 19. He says, and you Philippians, know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We'll stop there for now. Paul speaks more about the generosity of the Philippians. However, this time he doesn't only speak about how their generosity is a blessing to him. He also speaks about how it is a blessing to them. He talks about how it's a blessing to them. He says in verse 17, not that I seek the gift. He's saying, I'm good. Everything's fully supplied. But I seek the profit. And it's not profit for him. He says that is increasing to your account. I want you to experience the profit that comes from you giving. I mean, that sounds backwards, right? Paul's saying, I want you to be generous towards me, and others, by the way, so that you can experience the blessing when you give. When the Philippians gave, it was a profit to them. Well, how is it a profit to them? I want to be careful here, because I want you to know something, okay? We're gonna focus on what the Bible actually says. Okay? The Bible does not say if you give away $10,000, the Lord's gonna give you $20,000. It doesn't say that. All right? I'm not a false teacher. At least I try not to be. I can't say I've never said anything wrong. I'm sure I have. But some people will lie to you and teach you evil lies, which teach you if you give to your pastor or you give to this ministry, then God's gonna bless you tenfold. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does say God is exceedingly generous to his people. It does say that. So what is Paul talking about here when he says this? Well, there's a couple things I want to say here. First of all, catch this. The first way that we are blessed is a profit to us when we give is that when we give, it blesses us because when we sacrifice to bless others, we are like Jesus. When we sacrifice to bless others, we are like Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example of someone who sacrificed to bless others. And when we sacrifice to be generous to others, we experience the joy and the absolute miracle of being like Jesus. If someone were to say to you, hey, would you like to be like Jesus in some ways? I would think your answer would be yes. How can I be like Jesus? You can sacrifice by being generous to others. And you can be like Jesus. That's the first way it can be a blessing. Second, it is a blessing to bless others because God sees our generosity and God will not forget our sacrifice. God sees our generosity and God will not forget our sacrifice. I remember when I was a young ministry intern. I served in a church that was very large. And we had like 30 ministry interns in our church. And most of us were hoping that somehow someone would notice our hard work, notice our sacrifice in ministry, and give us one of the paid positions at the church. There was like 4 paid positions in the youth ministry, and there was like 30 interns working for free. So it was not a very, statistically, it's probably not gonna happen, right? I did finally get paid there to be the custodian, so I was big shot, you know? I just told everybody, I'm an intern here. Just happened to do a lot of custodial work. But I was hoping somebody would notice. I was hoping, by the way, I think my motivations were wrong. But at the time, you know, I was just doing the best I could. I was hoping somebody would notice the tremendous talent and knowledge I have for gospel ministry, right? And that the Lord would give me an opportunity. Here's the thing, whether they noticed or not, that doesn't matter. The Lord notices when you sacrifice. The Lord notices when you are generous. The Lord notices when you are faithful. Paul says as much directly in verse 19. He says, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God has plenty of money, plenty of blessings, plenty of goodness. By the way, money aren't even the most those aren't the real blessings, by the way. God will supply everything you need, and he has plenty of it to bless all of his children. He doesn't run out. Everything belongs to him. All of the spiritual blessings, all of the emotional blessings, all of the physical blessings, they all come from God, and he has plenty for all of us, and he will supply for our needs. Brothers and sisters, God sees your sacrifice. God sees your generosity. He will not forget about you. He will supply all that you need. What's more, He has blessings waiting for you in heaven. They are far more abundantly wonderful than anything this world has to offer. Our God sees you. He will not forget you. He will supply your every need. Pay attention also to what Paul says in verse 18. Paul refers to the gifts of the Philippians as a sacrifice and an offering. As a sacrifice and an offering. I think simple-minded, very logical. I try to break things down into little chunks I can understand. So I'm asking myself, to whom are these Philippians making an offering or a sacrifice? Obviously, it is not to the Apostle Paul, right? Paul is not receiving offerings and worship, right? Paul, in fact, there's an example in the book of Acts of people who tried to worship the Apostle Paul, and he tore his clothes in protest saying, no, don't do that. Worship God. So this offering, this sacrifice is not to Paul, it's to God. God is the one to whom these people are offering this offering or this sacrifice. So church, we must understand this. When we give to God's people, when we give to God's work, it's like giving to God himself. Where'd you come up with that, Pastor? From the Word of God. Paul says when they gave to his work, that they were making an offering, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. When we give to God and his people, it's like giving, and God's work, it's like giving to God himself. When we sacrifice for the mission of God, you're making a fragrant offering to God. God will not forget your offering. God will not forget your sacrifice. God will not forget your generosity. Finally, we see here the sharing of graciousness. The sharing of graciousness. Sorry to make you write that big word there. Graciousness. It's a lot of letters. But I've got it on the screen for you so you can figure it out there. The sharing of graciousness. Let's read Paul's final words in the book of Philippians. Look at verses 20 through the end. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let me just say a couple of things just for interpretation purposes. By the way, when it says the grace of the Lord God be with your spirit, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about kind of the heart of the church, the collective spirit of the church. So Paul's saying, may the grace of God, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your heart, collective heart as a church. But also it says, the members of Caesar's household greet you. You might say, Caesar sounds like the emperor, right? Yeah, that's Caesar. So you might say, what does that mean? Here's the very profound researched answer. We don't know. Or at least I don't know. Here's what it could possibly mean. Two things. One, there could be some actual blood relatives in the extended family of the emperor who became followers of Jesus Christ, which is not beyond believing, first of all, because of the power of the gospel, but also Paul was continuing to spread out into the Roman world doing missionary journeys. So it's quite possible. Remember, Paul could even be imprisoned in which city? In Rome, potentially. So it's not beyond belief that that's an actual blood kin member of Caesar's household. It could also mean somebody who belongs to the Roman government or the Roman military. It could also mean that. Probably means one of those things, which either way is really cool to see that the power of the gospel is winning people to faith in Jesus Christ, the very same ones who are imprisoning the most famous missionary of the time, the Apostle Paul. So it's pretty cool to see the power of the gospel at work. And Paul's saying, these people greet you. Okay, so that's a little bit on interpretation, but let's go a little bit beyond that. Do you remember what Paul said earlier in Philippians chapter 4? I'm asking you to remember all the way back to 7 days ago. Paul spoke about graciousness. Well, you may not remember, so let's put it on the screen for you. Chapter 4, verse 5. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Paul said that in last week's passage. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. Remember, to be gracious means to be kind and loving and grace-filled. That's what it means to be gracious. And you're showing that to other people. And now Paul is here at the end of Philippians, and he's just showering blessings in every direction. I love that. He's just like, bless everybody, right? He directs glory to God the Father above, right? That's what we call a doxology. He's giving praise to God above. And then he directs greetings to the saints in Philippi, right? Remember, saints means Christians. He's talking about the ones who are followers of Jesus. Paul says, greet all those Christians in Philippi. And then he sends greetings from those who are with him. He's like, not only am I greeting you, these other people around are greeting you. He wants the spirit or the heart of the church to be fueled by the grace of Jesus Christ. Paul is just taking good, you know, like in California, they talk about vibes, right? He's sending, and I think young people here do as well. I'm not young anymore. Y'all know that? See all that gray? And I know because I don't use the word vibes, but they send good vibes everywhere, right? This is what Paul's doing. He's just throwing graciousness all around. He wants graciousness to be shared by all. After all, he said, let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Think about how awesome it is, church. When we receive the graciousness of God, try to remember for a moment when Jesus changed your life. How incredible is that? We receive graciousness from God. It is an incredible experience. Then after that, we can respond to God with a gracious attitude, right? Like in our relationship with God, we're showing graciousness towards him. We're showing love towards him. We're showing kindness towards him in our attitude and life and behavior. We're showing love towards him. And then we can share that graciousness with one another in our church, right? We can love people in our church uniquely. Why? Because God first loved us. God loved us, and it changes the way we interact with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Some of you might wonder, why do you keep saying brothers and sisters? It's because we share a father. We've been adopted by a father, and he is our father. And if you have the same father as me, you're my brother or my sister. And the Bible uses that terminology as well, by the way. And so there is a bond that we have in our Father, the Lord God, that is tighter than any bond we have anywhere on this earth. And that in that bond, we can show love and graciousness to one another because God loved us. But it goes beyond that, right? Paul said in verse 5, show it to everyone. We can show graciousness to those outside the church as well. There's a special relationship among Christians, but we also are to love others. After all, we exist to develop disciples who love God, love the church, and love others. I didn't come up with that on my own. That was in the Bible. And so, right, that we love God, we are gracious towards God, we receive graciousness from God, we love the church, we receive graciousness from each other and show it to one another, and we show graciousness to a lost and dying world who desperately need to see real love. And that love is only found in Jesus Christ. It's like a big graciousness party. Every one of us soaking in and sharing Holy Spirit provided love, kindness, and grace to one another. What a wonderful picture that would be. What a wonderful picture that would be for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to live out what he's called us to do. That's the main point of this second half of Philippians chapter 4. As a matter of fact, this is a great bottom line for all of, not chapter 4, not only chapter 4, but really all of the book of Philippians. Let this bottom line summarize kind of what we're learning today. God's blessings to his people lead to God's blessings through his people. God's blessings to his people lead to God's blessings through his people. When we give our lives to Jesus, we are changed by and filled with the blessings of God. We are changed by and filled with the blessings of God. And when we are filled with the blessings of God, we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Jesus. And when we are filled with the blessings of God, we can be a blessing to those who do not know Jesus. Because of God's love through Jesus, think about some of the things we've learned. And we're going to cover this again next week as we do a summary. But think about some of the things we've learned through Philippians. Because of God's love through Jesus, we can be united. Because of God's love through Jesus, we can be selfless. Because of God's love through Jesus, we can be sacrificial. Because of God's love through Jesus, we can be generous. Because of God's love through Jesus, we can be gracious. We can be kind, and so much more. Because of God's love through Jesus, we can be like Jesus to others. God's blessings to his people lead to God's blessings through his people. Hope God's speaking to you today. Sometimes we pastors have a hard time with the last sermon in a book of the Bible because there's like greetings and blessings. You don't know what to say. I feel like God has a word for us today. And I want you to challenge yourself this week with this one weekly challenge. Seek to be a blessing. Seek to be a blessing. Has God blessed you? Well, seek to be a blessing this week. I want you to think right now for a moment. Everybody put your stuff away. I'm putting mine away. I'm going to leave my boot right there for now. Think for just a moment. I'm going to pull a fast one on you and split this weekly challenge into two. Two weekly challenges. I want you to think for a moment, just in your mind, what is a way that I can be a blessing to one of my brothers and sisters in Christ this week? Think right now. You're starting your weekly challenge right now. Think of a way that you can be a blessing to one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Everybody thinking? I'm not gonna have you come up and tell everybody, but. All right, weekly challenge 1B. That was 1A. 1B. Think of a way you can be a blessing to someone who doesn't know Jesus. Think of a way that you can be a blessing to someone who doesn't know Jesus. That's your challenge. You have 7 days. Be a blessing to someone who knows Jesus and be a blessing to someone who doesn't know Jesus. All of us, just think about, there's probably about 190 people in here. That's my guess. I don't know how close I am. Think about if 190 people, even 150 people, went out to be a blessing to people this week. Think about how that would change our community and our world, for that matter. You have the power within you to do that. I have the power within me to do that. So take that challenge this week. Hey, as we come to a conclusion here, we're going to sing a song of response. It's an opportunity for all of us to respond to how the Lord is working in our lives. How's the Lord working in your heart and in your mind and in your life this morning through his word? You may need to make some sort of spiritual decision. You may need to respond in some way. Our pastors are going to be here as we sing a song of response. But I want to challenge everybody to respond in some way, even if it's just in your own heart and your mind. Even if it's just saying, God, I am grateful for all your blessings. Would you help me be content in every circumstance? Would you help me be gracious and a blessing to others? Even if that's huge for you to do that. So all of us, let us seek to respond. But if you need to come talk to one of our pastors as we sing, we want to invite you to do that. Come on down and ask any question you want to ask or ask us to pray for you, and we'll be glad to pray for you. Make any decision you feel like the Lord's leading you to make. And before we conclude, I don't want to leave this room without you hearing clearly how you can follow Jesus. The Bible says God made a way for us, a plan, a purpose for each and every one of us. But all of us, like the very first human beings, Adam and Eve, all of us rejected God's ways, rejected God's plan. That's called sin. And the Bible says there's a very real consequence for sin. Among other things, it separates us from God, our Father. The Bible says we're enemies of God in our sin. And it earns punishment. It's what we deserve. The payment for sin, the wages of sin is death. Separation from God for all eternity. Real punishment in a real place called hell. That's what we earn for our sin. The Bible says God loved us while we were yet sinners. And he sent Jesus Christ to be the perfect display of blessings and sacrifice and graciousness, to love the world in a way that we could not. And he gave his life on the cross, even though he had never committed a single crime. He died a criminal's death to pay your penalty and to pay my penalty, so that we could know God and experience his blessings. And the Bible says Jesus rose from the dead to new life. And the Apostle Paul wrote elsewhere, just as Jesus rose to new life, so too we could walk in newness of life. Some of you hear these things I say, and you think, Pastor Matt, I don't really know if I can do that. I don't really know if I can be content. I don't really know if I can be gracious. I don't really know if I can be sacrificial. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And there is nothing that God is calling you to do that he will not also empower you to do. So trust him, follow him, and be made new. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, turn from your sin today, turn to Jesus, and experience all the newness and blessings that he's earned on your behalf. If you need to make a decision to follow Jesus, come tell one of our pastors. However God is leading, let us listen, let us obey. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing.